Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum. I was getting ready to say Issues Asylum. We do have issues here. Sweet Jesus. All right.
We all have issues. It's okay.
All right, yeah. This is Heroes Asylum, issue 142. I was sitting there as the music was playing. I was like, shit, what issue is this? What issue is that? And that's why that came out. I was trying to give you hand signs through the camera. Like,
I know. I think we've gotten to that point now that we're actually so up there in issues or episodes that... We're forgetting.
I'm losing them, man. I try to check on one of our podcasting sites, either Castos or Spotify or Google. I always try to check, and I just always forget. And
I keep it on here as a reference, just in case. And let's see who's gonna get it right this time. Like, okay,
freaking old age. Yeah, trust me, guys. If you ever go back into the archive and like really dig into the archives, you'll notice there's a few episodes that are missing. Well, that's because Mike lost track and just jumped and just never corrected himself. And he's done that a few times. So, yeah, good times.
Okay, brother, old age hit us all, man.
It's
all right.
Oh, well, guys, girls, we finally got to the end of the Book of Boba. I mean, let's just knock it out of the park. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we can stop talking about Book of Boba finally, because I feel like our show for the last 7 weeks has been the Book of Boba. And, oh, wait, we saw this on Facebook somewhere and saw it on news. So let's just knock it out of park, man. What did you think? Finally, we got the full wrap up, the final story. What you got?
Do you want to go like and do this episode and then wrap the season up as a whole?
Well, yeah. Let's wrap the whole season up. Just like, because I mean, okay. This is the bookend of the season. So and the end of the book.
Gotcha. If I'm gonna be honest, dude, usually before we break down Book of Boba, sometimes we'll text each other like, hey. You know, watch this. This was the week that I knew there was no text between us.
No, we couldn't talk.
there was no talking. And to me, I'm going to be completely 100% honest. I did not like it. Did not end the way I thought. I mean, yes, I had as always would have seen when, a show starts, I have these visions in my head where it should go. And it just didn't hit it. Like there was some good, cool moments. I love when, you know, Mando and Boba are jetpacking in there and they're shooting some stuff. That was cool. But to me, like, honestly, they should have changed the name of this show to the Book of Fennec. Because, like, the decisions that Boba makes throughout the series are just head-scratching. Again, that's just me. I'll give you an example. When he walks into the town after the cantina's been destroyed, right? Hey, man, we got to, shit, what happened here? Okay, cool. Logic would dictate, hey, let's go back to my fortress and wait till the pikes come and let them come to us. I got this gigantic fortress. Cool. He's influenced by the mod squad. No, stay here because, this is our town. Like, what? Again, he just makes some weird batshit decisions. Another one, the Rancor. I knew he was going to ride the Rancor eventually. I didn't want him to ride the Rancor like this season. Like, at that moment, I'm thinking, oh, he's leaving. He's going to go back to his palace. He's going to bring Slave One. He's going to freaking mow people down. He brings the Rancor. Okay, cool, but wouldn't it have been a little bit easier with the ship? Third point. When you saw Boba Fett arrive at the ending of Mandalorian Season 2, he goes in there, Jabba's palace, boom, shoots Bib Fortuna, done, sits on the throne. What a badass. I'm like, oh, man, I cannot wait to see this series. Where was that Boba Fett? Let's be honest. To me, the first three episodes with the Sand People could have been done in one episode. That was way too drawn out. You could have done it in flashbacks, too. I was watching the Highlander series a little while ago. And through each episode they do like a little flashback of the story they're going to do. Why couldn't they do this in Boba Fett?
Well, those were flashbacks. Those were flashbacks when he was in the back of the tank and he was dreaming of it. So those are exactly what you wanted.
I just wish I wanted it in one episode. And then like the crime of just killing, I guess he's dead, of killing Cad Bane. I mean, I get if you watch Clone Wars, there was a story with him and stuff, but like for him to have like basically one and done and he's gone. It's just mind boggling. Like I said, they had a lot of cool moments. I dug a lot of the moments, man. I dug when Mando and Grogu got back together. That was cool. That tugged my heartstrings. Are you, Grogu fans out there? But it's just everything else was like it. He wasn't the Boba that I thought he should be. He wasn't the badass. He wasn't the gangster. I'll give you one more before I let you, I let you go. I watched The Godfather a couple weeks ago, and like the building of Michael Corleone to, you know, basically he has these conversations with Vito. It's like, you know, I don't want you to be in here. I don't want you to be in there. But if you do, you know, and he has a, one of the great scenes of all time. He's sitting in the garden and he tells him, you know, who betrayed him eventually. And he's like, you know, you're not, I never wanted this for you. I really wish there was a episode or a flashback where it shows Bo before he got to Tatooine. Like maybe, you know, why did he want to become a crime lord? Maybe while he was working with a crime lord on some other planet, he got influenced by some other crime lord. Like, hey man, you know what? If you ever get to do it this way, you know, learning some lessons along the way that actually helped the Boba character go forward and actually be this crime lord that he wanted to be for Tatooine. I didn't see any of that. I just don't know. Like decisions he made were bad. I mean, you probably have a different take. So you go for it, sir.
well, kind of to answer kind of what you just said, he did explain that. We did have those moments. He had that conversation with Fennec because she even asked him, well, what's going on? Why are you doing this and doing it this way and not doing it, you know, the way we think you should? And he said, I'm tired of us doing the grunt work, people like us in our business, and somebody else getting the taking advantage of it and making the money and getting the power, and we're just set right back to where we were. He explained that. We didn't have to have a scene. He set it up in dialogue as to why he chose to go this route. As far as the action, you and I have talked about this before. This is an older Boba. It's the same complaint that everybody's going to have, that everybody did have in Last Jedi. That's old Luke. We didn't get the young Luke. Sorry, blame that one straight up. You can't blame anybody but Lucas on that decision to not continue with a story or something. I know he tried to do a couple of shows and here and there, but they all fell flat, and we don't really know how much he really forced it. So you got to, you know, same thing goes for Boba. He's old. He's an older actor. He can't do these great, you know, crazy scenes. And I mean, if he could, it'd be expensive as fuck. So I'm okay with that. My complaint, and it goes back to something you and I were just talking about in the green room, story. The story was so weak. I have no problems with where Boba was in his life and how he was and what he was going about doing. He was trying to be a Michael Corleone, but there was more heart to him. He was wanting to get the people on his side instead of putting them in fear. You know, he wanted them to have respect. Get that. Fennec's younger. She's still hungry. You know, this is a job still for her. She's still, I think in her mind, this is still a job. So, yeah, I just think overall the story, and I saw a lot of posts online going, Robert Rodriguez should never do anything Star Wars. I understand the director has a bit of influence on how the story goes, like the battle scenes. Like, you know, I'm sure it was just, hey, there's a big battle, there's a street battle. We want to have a moment between the mods and Cristanton, and we want to have, you know, this great battle and moment between Boba and Mando. But it's how it was delivered. Some of those, yeah, were kind of a letdown. I blame Robert on that. The rest of the story, I hate to say it, and this is, he's been touted as the savior, is Favreau.
Yeah.
Not Filoni. Yeah. No, this was not written by Filoni.
Oh, this was Favreau? This was
Favreau's baby. You look at every single episode, written by him. The last episode, written by Favreau, not Filoni.
Kind of head-scratching, isn't it? How
yeah.
He could do, isn't yeah. It? It's strange, like... He delivers like two really good solid seasons of The Mandalorian, you know, storytelling, because you're a big book reader and you like that thorough storytelling line of, hey, I know where I'm headed. With this one, it was just, okay, where are we going?
This should have been two seasons. I said at the beginning, I still will say it to this point, this should have been two seasons. The whole thing, I think there should have been more time and understanding and about the Sand People, the more time and understanding about what Boba, like your complaint, what was Boba doing? Why was he doing it this way and that way? More time to introduce, you know, Dark Chrysanthemum. More time to introduce the mods, to get to know them instead of finding out who the fuck they were 30 minutes into the last episode.
You know what I wanted also is more time in the crime world, more time with those crime underlords. I wanted to know more about them. Like, well, he's trying to influence this world, and yes, he's lived there as, you know, as a worker, but I want to know more of the idiotrinkacies of that.
We, like, already, you know that if again, this is on the fan, the watcher of this, if you're not a fan of Clone Wars or Rebels, you don't know anything about the underworld. We were introduced to the underworld. I know you watched it. We were introduced to those. We knew who the Pikes were. We knew everything about the Pike Syndicate because we were explained to that during those episodes where we were introduced to Cad Bane and where we saw young Boba doing this. So we got all of that. So when the Pikes were there, bam, memory should have come back. You know, that one, no, that's not on the writer of this. That stuff's already there. And me as a fan, I'd hate to see a rehash of it. I don't like being retold again. That's something, you know, just me personally. I'm just like, I don't want to be retold about something.
I'm just saying, like, if you didn't watch Clone Wars, yes, I've watched it. But if you if you're an outside guy and you didn't watch, like, you know, where do these guys come from? Maybe like a, I don't know, maybe like just a scene or something.
And the whole Mando Grogu thing, enough. Leave it for me. That at the sixth episode where you see Luke providing him, you know, telling Grogu, hey, you can either go here or you can go here. All right. That's where it should have ended. We should not have seen, we should have seen Mando do his thing, help out Boba, do whatever. Grogu shows up in the last second of the episode, whatever. You know, that's, but yeah, now that where he shows up, does the Force thing. And I just, no, I was like, no, this is, again, one of the big complaints, you know, a lot of folks, and I kind of got it irked with them, was, oh, when's Boba going to show up in the Boba show? He was only missing for one episode, guys. So just chill the fuck out. But it was just like, yeah, I thought the Mando side kind of overtook it. And now I really, really understand why Luke's school failed. What kind of douchebag sends the kid back with R2 and just R2?
Yeah.
Why? What kind of douchiness is that? I'm sorry. I was like, I have expected just to see a hand come up, you know, when she's walking over to it and just see, you know, the gloved hand come up and, oh, okay, it's Luke. Cool. Yo, yeah. And well, he didn't even need to speak. We just see him pull out, you know, Grogu, and then she kind of takes over, and then we jump to the scene where he shows up. But yeah, it's just like, what the, you know, so he's just going to send an R2 with him and just like, hey, take my ship and just drop that kid off. I got a rock to move down here. Like, what did he have to do there? There was nobody else there. Ahsoka left. Did he just have to just move rocks around?
I guess. Or get frogs.
I just, you know, like, if there's just some silly little moments, I was like, what? That's okay. I can kind of now see why your school failed, douchebag.
You're just a big egg.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, he is a douche.
So, but yeah, no, again, yeah, I'm just was not satisfied. I understand what Filoni and Favreau are doing. They are building a Star Wars world, their version of Legends. And so I understand that Book of Boba was going to be a very small portion of it because, you know, the overall is really Mando and following that side of the world. And Boba was just kind of like a nice thing for the fans, a bit of fan service. But again, I also know that they can do some great writing and some great directing. I mean, when you go back to episode 5. You know, when they reintroduced Mando, and it was a great story and great cinematography, like that stands out as a gem against the rest of it. So yeah, I was not happy with it. So I still like it. I'll watch it, but again, not something I'll be like, you know, I could probably go back and rewatch that, and I really don't feel a need. Like I really wanted, after as soon as I was done with Mando, I wanted to rewatch that the whole season again.
Oh, and I have a couple episodes here and there.
Oh, yeah, me too. But I just, Boba, I got done with Boba, and I'm like, okay.
I think if there's only one episode I'll rewatch of Boba is The Return of the Mandalorian.
Yeah, number 5, yeah.
That is the only one I'll rewatch.
But just the cinematography was great. The storyline was great. It was so fun. It was, I'll say it to the day I probably die. That is the most Star Wars thing I've ever seen. I mean, it just covered everywhere.
45 minutes and less,
and it showed that, yo, there is a massive group of people that want to see prequel stuff.
Even at this point now, and I shitted on the prequels for so long.
Oh yes, you did, steamy ones,
and then go to the archives, check it out. I actually wouldn't mind seeing some prequel stuff. I really wouldn't.
Yep, and well, that's where we're at now. So
yeah, we're here now. I mean, do you think it's going to get a season 2?
I don't know. They have Cassian to do, but again, we got Obi-Wan and Cassian to do. So those go backwards in time. They take place around, I think, the same time or much earlier. But we do have Ahsoka coming out. So I think Ahsoka will be sort of, hopefully they treat Ahsoka a lot better than they did Boba. I'm really concerned because
yeah,
Ahsoka is my, like, I was a huge fan of Ahsoka from day one. Even during the Sky Guy times, I still was a big fan of her.
Really? Man, I hated her.
I know. That's why I said it. So I could jab at you for that.
You're a bold, strong man, sir.
There was something about her. She was different. She was different than what we were used to. And I just, she just stood out. And then as she grew, I just fell more and more in love with her.
Oh yeah, when she grew up, dude, she was like, and when she got to Rebels, she was at a place of like, God, I love this.
I've told you, you got to read it. It's a short little book. There's a novel called Ahsoka, and it takes place in between when she left in Clone Wars and where she came in Rebels, and it explains that how she like vanished, and she just went off on her own and went to a planet and hid her like deconstructed her lightsabers and didn't had to deal with. I think there was a. I think they, she was living on this planet with a next door to this family, and I think it was a Empire Day, and so like some like weird shit was going on, and she had to go back and like get back into being a Jedi again.
Interesting.
So yeah, it was a really cool book, and it, like I said, it's in that early 20s for her. Since I realized, you know, when Clone Wars ended, she was teens, you know, teens to late teens. This her had her a little bit older.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out. Is it a comic or just a novel?
No, it's an actual novel. And okay. I've been trying to get you to read, but I'll get you on something.
Maybe I'll read this one. This one sounds interesting. If it's Ahsoka, I want to find out like those her middle years before she got the web.
Now, speaking of comic books, what do you think about the new DC Crisis? Since we're kind of done with Boba and we can jump back into comic books. What is your thoughts, ideas about Dark Crisis? Have you read anything about it yet? Picked up any book?
I'm probably headed out to Acme tomorrow to check out this Dark Crisis. I don't know, man. I mean, how many crises are we going to keep going through?
Well, again, same thing. You're going to have that's DC's thing. Marvel has its thing. We have DC has crises, so it's some sort of crisis.
I don't know. Like I said, I'll check it out. I mean, I don't know what it entails.
Well, nothing's out yet. It's going to start, I think, the prequel or precedes, like that there's two specials that come out on Free Comic Book Day on May 7th. So that is going to start it off. So, but it's going to take up through May, from May 7th, and I think all the way up to May 31st, I think, is when the Justice League Road to Dark Crisis, number one shot, that'll be out. But it's basically starting off with like the death of the Justice League. It sort of reminds me about what they were going to do a couple of years ago, where they were going to kill off the old guards, and they did that with what was that, yeah, Infinite Frontiers or whatever that one last
yeah,
one.
Infinite Frontiers, yeah, they did something along, or I don't know if they succeeded, but that was supposed to be the plan, to kill off the old and like this new Justice League. So I guess, I mean, I'm just kind of spitballing here, but it sounds like that's what they're going to do with this one. Like, the Justice League is dead. New heroes must emerge. I'm like, okay.
Pretty much, yeah. So it basically is like, yeah, the Justice League go off. Something happens. They die. They don't return from their mission. And basically, and somebody was introduced a little bit ago, but it's going to be a rehash of another crisis. One Pariah will be coming back. And if you guys don't remember, 1985 Crisis on Infinite Earth. Mr. Marv Wolfman and George Perez. Yeah, they did that. Pariah's... It was in the epilogue of Infinite Frontier number 6. So we see that, you know, he's, you know, part of this thing. The Great Darkness is a weapon that he brings into the multiverse. So
that's So I don't think the Monitor or Anti-Monitor are showing up.
No, they don't make mention of that. They just say Pariah. But again, you got to remember, Pariah, since 1985, Pariah has been involved in every crisis. I think he was part of the Zero Hour. I think he was, he was been a part of almost every crisis at some point.
Do you recall like those Dark Multiverse one-shots where like, what if, like, you know, the Flash stopped, you know, Thomas and Martha Wayne from dying and, you know, there was no Flashpoint? There was a character that he was doing like the almost like the epilogue. I forgot his name, but he was supposed to be the version of the Monitor on the Dark Multiverse.
Oh yeah, I remember this. Yeah,
you think they bring him in for this?
I don't know, but I don't know if this is going to be involved in the Dark. I know they're calling it Dark Crisis, so they might. You know how DC is about this. They're being very, 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 very hush hush and kind of secretive. We know it's going to be an attack on Earth Zero. And then it's going to be, of course, you know, bringing in the multiverse and, of course, wiping some characters out, bringing some characters to the forefront. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're going to completely kill off, because they do make a reference to, you know, being, you know, Justice League isn't really dead. Of course, you know, everything is, nobody's dead, you know, except nobody for Uncle Ben.
Yeah, Uncle Ben stays dead, but everybody else is still alive. They'll find a way to keep him back to life. Portals, multiverses. Yeah, nobody's dead.
Yeah, and basically the area that they're really focusing on is basically this power vacuum is left by the events. You know, the Justice League is gone. Now my question is you know, are we going to see, like, is it Superman or is it going to be the current Superman? Jonathan, is it Jonathan or are we going after the Holy Trinity and then that group? That's where I'm just kind of like up in the air, because some of the screenshots we see some of them. You know, we do still see Supergirl there. We still see, you know, Green Arrow. What I do see is the ones that are flying are the newer versions of them. But yet I still see Nightwing in a lot of these. Like he's like the Gotham, you know, but he's not, you know, holding on to the bat mantle. It's like kind of interesting that he is, you know, he's still involved. So he's very forefrontish in a lot of these images. So I'm kind of curious if, you know, they're going to pull the trigger and throw the cowl on him again for a year and what. So
which did they showed Batman, I think, on there. Which Batman is it? Do you think it's Bruce? Is it Tim Fox? Is it somebody else?
Fox, I thought Fox is moving over to New York now. From the books I read, he's going to be leaving Gotham or wherever he's been, and he's going to be going to New York.
Interesting.
It looks like they're going to be hitting the Holy Trinity, and then of course, you know, your Hal's and your Shazam's is what I see in the imagery, and then the ones that I see that are still around are, like I said, the younger crowd, and the only one that sticks around that I can see is, you know, we do see Nightwing hanging around and a Slade smoking a cigarette off the top of a building for some strange reason, again, being all broody and shit.
Slade in the Justice League now too? I mean, I don't know.
Well, no, he's not in the Justice League. He's just kind of watching over them. So
he's chilling.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested because you and I have been talking about trying to find something to get our feet back in there. So this might be something that draws us in. I don't know.
I'm peaked. I mean, I'll definitely check it out. I'll at least buy like the prelude to Dark Crisis, and you know, I'm all about Crisis events, and you know, we'll see. I mean, hopefully, it's a good story.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, I liked the last run I read was Death Metal. I thought Death Metal was
you were all over the metal one, so
But Death Metal was a better story than just Metal. Yeah. Metal's story was just wonky. Like, whoa, character's great, but the story was terrible.
Yeah.
But Death Metal had a better story. I guess they heard my bitching and complaining.
I heard my bitching because I was the one that was saying it was wonky.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So, kind of in the DC Batman world, we're creeping up on the Batman coming out soon, very soon. I know your tone has changed a little bit. If anybody remembers a couple years ago when they first announced this, there was some very colorful words. But did you see in Twitter this week? Did you see Topher Grace post something?
No,
he posted an image, him in a black pea coat standing by a fire, and his Twitter post is Gotham City is a cesspool, the scum, the corruption. I alone must clean it up, but how? I'm just one man.
I'm looking it up right now.
Go to our Facebook page. I posted it, I think, the 9th.
Got it. That's a weird image.
Do you think he's doing something, or have you heard any news, any rumblings of anything other Batman, or?
I haven't heard anything.
Like any other new Batman shows that are in the works? I mean, I know we have Batwoman going on right now. We do have, the Batgirl series is coming out, but we don't know what that's tied into. So, but yeah, I thought it was a pretty honest, and I got to tell you, I kind of got goosebumps when I thought about him being involved in something Batman-esque, because his villain, you ever watch him doing the villains, is amazing. He's a great villain, but him playing a Batman, I could definitely see that take on it.
I mean, I don't know, like,
is anything Batman coming out right now? I know is linked, like at least like the Gotham City Police thing.
Batgirl, Gotham Guardians, or Gotham City Knights, whatever. That's too. I mean, does he play like an alternate version of Bruce? Or does he play Thomas?
I don't know. I just, like I said, look at the picture. It's a really cool picture. Look at his hand gesturing. Yeah, and then that quote. I mean, that's straight up. And then he posted it that day, February 9th. Or actually, February 8th. So
I think in an alternate universe, Bruce had a brother too. And I think he became Owlman. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of possibilities. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm surprised you didn't see that. I know your schedule's got you all.
No, I didn't. Like, I really didn't see this one.
I was like, he's not going to see this on Twitter. I'm going to throw this out here on Facebook and see if he catches it. And I think I got no takers. I got one like from somebody, and that was it. I'm like, really? Nobody's biting on this one?
I don't know, because I just.
Hey, it got your juices flowing, doesn't it?
Yeah. And now I'm like trying to think, like, So why would he drop something like that?
I don't know.
I mean, he's just fucking with us, or
he could be, but still, that's just an awesome.
Why would you? And then you say like, I got to clean the streets up. Like, why would you?
Well,
say
Batman, something? Batman's cleaning up the streets. That's what I'm like.
Yeah,
I could see that. I could even see him going as a Nightwing, kind of. You know,
he'd be
But again, his villain though, his villains are so good. I mean, you remember Predators.
I liked him in Predators. Yeah. I liked him in Predators.
I mean, I did. I thought I was like, man, I need to see more of that version of him.
I even liked him as Eddie Brockman.
Yeah,
maybe that's a faux pas thing to say. I kind of dug his. I mean, he wasn't the Eddie Brock. He's not Tom Hardy. He wasn't the Bulking, but I kind of liked him as like almost like an arch enemy type to Peter Parker. Like he was like, you know, Parker was like the nerdy brown hair kid. He had the blonde hair, and
there you go. Yeah, like, I don't look like a floating head anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, you don't look. It's okay. You're still a floating head to me. But yeah, I kind of dug his that version, like him being a Batman. Not the worst thing in the world.
Like I said, when I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm kind of interested with that.
I like the image him by the fireplace. That's sort of dope,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it's very Brucey, Bruce Wayne today. Hey, man, just sitting here brooding, drinking some scotch.
And like I said, yeah, I mean, look at his whatever hands down below by his waist. There's like this weird like claw thing happening. I was like, okay, what's he going to do? I mean, what if they're going to actually do a correct hush? I mean, you play that villainous role. I mean, that goes right up his alley. So
like he could do a Talon, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, that would be I could kind of see him go that route. Again, I'm just a very big fan of his. I love him in That 70s Show. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, I think him being a villain.
Oh, yeah, he was great in that show. Like no pun intended. But he's done some other shit since he left. Mm-hmm. I mean, shit that has been really good and underrated. So, not my first choice, but you know what? Not a horrible choice.
No,
I don't know what he's doing. Like, could he be like the Arrowverse version of Batman? I mean, I don't know. That's another possibility.
Well, that's why. But we've already had an Arrowverse version of the Batman. We've already seen that Batman.
Warren Christie, yeah, I guess.
So I mean, that's why I was like, I took Batwoman out of my equation, and I took the Gotham PD thing. Maybe the Gotham Sirens, or not Sirens, or was it Gotham Knights? Maybe he's the Batman in flashback or in some form. I mean,
that'd be kind of cool.
I mean, it'd be better than what we had in Titans. Sorry.
I could have said that.
I know you didn't, though. I did. Did you see in Deadline? Deadline.com had released a thing about Kraven the Hunter and the new addition of Russell Crowe to star along with Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Russell Crowe joining Kraven the Hunter?
Yep. Can't wait.
I'm in. He probably gonna play like Kraven's dad or something.
That's exactly. I think that's a lot of folks online were like, "Oh, he's probably playing Kraven's dad or his teacher or something."
Isn't Kraven like a Russian descendant, a Russian origin?
Russia? I think it's been so long since I've read a Kraven book. I know in the in the cartoons he had an accent, but possibly So I could definitely see that. I was kind of stoked. I was like, okay, I'd love to see Russell in something like that. I mean, again, Sony's taking a lot of cues. Their time spent with Disney, I think they're taking some cues. Hey, let's get a big gravitas actor as a secondary or third character, add some weight to it, give them the roles of the mentor or of the, upset father, something to add some weight to them, get that acting chops in there. To balance it out with the action.
Yeah, you want to see like a two totally different performances. Look at him as Jor-El from Man of Steel. And then look at him in the movie, a little indie movie that came out, I think, last year that I love, Unhinged.
Yeah.
Where he's this raving freaking lunatic, just road rage master. Like, hell yeah, join him in there. Like, anytime you add talent to a film, especially like a Kraven film, because Aaron Taylor Johnson is... Yes, he's a household name, but like you just said eloquently, you add somebody who's going to bring more of that weight, that gravitas, and like, oh shit, Russell Crowe's going to be in it. Yeah, maybe I'll check it out. And I think he'll play like a mentor figure, probably. I don't think he's going to be the villain, but yeah. Anytime you add talent to a film, especially like Kraven, which is except for me and you and the other sweaties out there, kind of an unknown property.
And even for me, it's like I don't know enough about him. I remember him, and I remember him in the Spider-Man stuff. And I think I've picked up a couple of books where he was, going after Spider-Man. I think it was Superior Spider-Man. So it's I don't even think that counts. I mean, I love Superior Spider-Man. I thought everything they did in Superior Spider-Man was just so much fun and just so cerebral about that thought, you know, put Doc Ock in Peter Parker's body. What would he do?
Yeah, I remember you broke the, that couple of those issues down, like how he got in there, what he changed around, how he became a better, a superior Spider-Man.
Yeah, he did, because he had this mindset, but then he realized why Peter was doing what he was doing. He's like, oh, crap. Okay, a little bastard. Now I know.
Yeah. got into his psyche a little bit. I think he had, didn't he have like those little drones for a while with him?
Yeah, he had the drones covering the covering the city, so that way he could have a personal life and go and have dinner with Mary Jane and try to rebuild a relationship. I think at that point they had divorced and they were trying to rebuild it, and she's like, "Well, how can you come out here? Didn't you hear the siren going off?" He's like, "Yeah, we got it." Yeah, you know, so it was a pretty cool take on it. I really enjoyed it. I know a lot of diehard Spider-Man fans were like very against it.
When you read that premise some time ago, I actually read some of the Superior Spider-Man, and I dug it. I just like it because it's so. Here you have your arch. It's almost like if the Joker went inside Bruce Wayne's mind, it was Batman.
Well, think about the probably one you and I always talk about it. We always bring it up, but Superman, you know, All-Star Superman. Yep. And how Lex gets his ability for a little bit. And he's like, oh, my God, I get it now.
Yeah.
I see it. I can see my molecules. And then he has that epiphany of, holy crap, Superman goes off and, you know, does what he has to do. And Lex is on death row and he spends the rest of his time in his life making the world a better place.
Because
he had his eyes opened by what Superman saw. And that's kind of the same. Yeah, it's just, and that's kind of the same thing. That's why I always thought it was strange that so many people are like, this is really, you had this chance for this villain to, again, have that epiphany of, holy crap, I could do better. And I was angry at that guy for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, when the villain sees the world through the hero's eyes, he's like, wait a minute, maybe he was right. Like, maybe I did have it wrong. Maybe I should just do better. Yeah. Such a good. I keep thinking about that scene in the animated movie where he's just like looking at the molecules. He's like, I get it now. Mm-hmm. Oh, it gives me goosebumps when I think about it.
So, did you hear about Sony cutting a deal with not Disney for the release options for their movies? HBO Max.
That's a little strange.
Yeah, you're having bedfellows with the enemy right now. I mean, it's like kind of weird.
Well, you know, Sony and Marvel's deal is just, you know, for Spider-Man and you know, theatrical releases. But when it comes to streaming, they can go to the highest bidder.
Yeah, and I figured you know, Disney would have been a smart business move for Disney to say, hey, no, come stick with us, man. We've already got your Spider-Man comic, you know, animated here. Just bring everything over. We're already crossing streams as it is, so why not? But now they went the route of HBO Max, which
it's so weird because when I go on into Disney Plus, I look and see every, like you just said, every animated Spider-Man is on there, but the Spider-Man movies are not on there.
Nope, none of them.
None of them. Which is kind of strange. I'm like, you would think by proxy they'd just be there.
Yeah,
yep. They're not, and they're not, and I'm just, it's saying, I guess go for the highest bidder. You know, good for them. Yeah. HBO Max. I guess
another reason to keep up with HBO Max. They're just knocking it out of the park.
Got some good stuff on there, man.
Speaking of HBO Max, what'd you think about this week's Peacekeeper?
Loved it. Show gets better and better. I love the confrontation that Chris finally has with his dad. That kind of ends like one. I don't want to.
Peacemaker. I'm sorry. I said Peacekeeper. Peacemaker. Sorry.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Thank you. Somebody should.
I just want to keep it going. Yeah. But like the conversation with his dad, that was great. Like the whole touching scene where you thought Eagly was dead, and him like hugging him on the gurney. That was kind of cool. When like the one chick saw him,
gets the picture, he pulls out the phone, and does the
pulls out the phone. Come on, that's. And then you get to see what the cow is. I mean, leave it to fucking James Gunn to add another weirdo character. I was thinking it was going to be similar to the Slither monster. No, not even that. He goes way big. And then you see this gigantic monstrosity in this like cave, and them saying like, yeah, we have to like transport it because it burrows in the ground. And that's how they get the butterflies, get their food supply. So dope. So good. I mean, it kind of sucks we lost Clemson Murr, but...
Oh, dude, what a...
Heartbreaking, man. Heartbreaking.
Not only is it heartbreaking, but we had to watch it twice. She put bullets in him, then ripped him out, and then crushed him. I'm like, oh,
Damn. And then she hardcore found him, and then like he's like barely hanging on, and he gives like a hand signal. I was like, oh.
It took me right back to Men in Black with a little alien inside. I was like, oh,
dude, when he died, he's like the prince. He's like, oh, he's the last of his kind, and he's like, yes, take this. Yeah. Oh, that's a good pull, by the way.
Yeah, that's why I just like, oh man, no, that's just horrible. So then we get to see the White Dragon Iron Man, basically. I mean, that was that suit was awesome.
Basically what it was. Let's be honest,
that's fine. I mean, but again, that's what he is. So I mean, when you look at what he does, he makes things. You know, he makes all of his helmets. So why not be, if you're going to suit yourself up in the best thing you would design. So. Yeah, that's something Tony Stark would have done. But yeah, that whole scene. Then him punching Eagly down. Oh, that just.
Oh, I lost it when he hit. I was like, dude, Eagly may not be dead.
I'm sorry, I don't get political, but what a perfect metaphor for the country right now.
Yes. I'm
sorry. When I saw that, I was like, James, you dirty little bastard. You. I saw what you did there.
Found a way to weave it in there.
Oh, it's like, damn. But yeah, no, it's been going good. Again, not my favorite episode, but I like the growth of the show and the story. But that's okay. That's when you have to have those episodes. It may not be my favorite one, but there was growth and further, you're seeing more of, you know, Peacemaker and Chris, you know, coming to his own. We're seeing more of Leda coming into her own and going, you know, and they're like, you know, realizing who she is and what she's doing, and she's feeling bad and trying to fix her problem. So we're seeing like character growth. That doesn't make it the best episode ever because, you know, we don't start seeing big explosions and stuff like that, but we're still getting the, you know, some fun stuff.
You
there.
Basically got the building of the team here because now they're centralized. Yeah. Now they're a unit now because it took all those episodes like Hardcore from the beginning of episode one, mean badass. Now she's willing to like Amelia in, and she's like, hey, you know what? It's okay. You know, you do pretty good at this job. I don't know about you, but I was like, oh man, like she called her a bitch and all this time. And now they're like friendly now.
Yeah.
That's cool. And like Dyebeard, I'm going to keep calling him Dyebeard. I'm sorry. With Dyebeard now, he's on board. When he was wrecking shop with those freaking white supremacists, dude, that was dope. Just gunning him down.
Yep.
Come on. Come on. Like, again, a show that I didn't want, I got, and I'm glad I got it. And James Gunn, you sneaky little bastard, man. Always doing something, man. Always, and the music is killer again.
Every
episode. I have the soundtrack downloaded on Spotify.
I love, in fact, you got to watch him though. He's very sneaky about the music he puts in. Most folks aren't going to realize it. But when you saw Vigilante after he got into the car and he was dying, did you hear the song that was being played? It was the band called Kix. And it was a song called Don't Close Your Eyes, basically about a girl committing suicide or dying. Oh, and there you're watching Vigilante die, and it's saying, don't close your eyes. And the lyrics, as he's like getting ready to pass out, I was like, he's getting smart with the music too.
And by the way, Vigilante is still alive, so I wonder if he has those awesome healing powers like he does in the comics.
Possibly, yeah, I think so.
Because he should have been dead. Like he had a grenade blow in front of him, but I guess maybe they'll explain it, maybe they won't. But
yeah, but I just love the placement of the lyric of the song, and so I'm like, I have to go back now and watch and listen to some of the music and the songs he's chosen or the bands he's chosen, because I think he's a little bit he's getting a little bit smart on us.
Yeah.
Well. Speaking, it's sort of, it's not really a in our genre, but it has an actor that I absolutely loved in our genre. Alan Rickman has moved over. He left Titans in a big, explosive way, which I was completely missed him watching Hawk get killed. But seeing him drift over to, again, a show you just kind of mentioned, I didn't want it. Never thought I'd want it. But Reacher, have you watched Reacher? Have you gotten a chance to watch all of Reacher yet, or just the four we talked about?
Finished?
What'd you think, man? I absolutely loved it.
I loved it. This is like, I think I texted you last week. I'm like, this is the Jack Reacher that, you know, when the Lee Child's novels that you envisioned. He's a big, bulking guy. Yeah, all right. And I'm talking big. Yeah. Like he was big on Titans. I think he got bigger for this show.
I think they hired everybody to be like a foot shorter than him, because I think he's like taller. I guess
so, because he's huge. He's bigger than everybody.
It's like the rest of the cast has to be 5. Mm-hmm. And he's...
I read a particular novel in summer camp one time of Jack Reacher. And I forgot which. I think I read this one that they're doing the series on now. That
this is
The Killing Child.
Because at the beginning of every episode, there's a this is from the Killing Floor book, and that was the debut book for them.
I just love the fact that, you know, he tells people what he's going to do to them right before he does it. Like the one scene,
very Billy Jack,
and he's sitting there. He's like. There's like four guys surrounding him. He's like, let me guess, you're all intoxicated right now. He's like, you're going to try to fight me. Three of you are going to get broken arms. And the other one's going to drive him to the hospital. And they're just laughing at him. He does exactly like that. 2 seconds later, he's like, I can drive to the hospital. I know where it is. I love that.
Yeah.
And like, even the supporting characters were really good. Like Finley, I dug Roscoe, strong characters. Like the three of them, I hope they both come back for season two, because they're going to do, they announced they're doing season two, of course.
Like they weren't even done with this one, but yeah, so this one's they released or said announced that they're going to be dropping that. They announced it on the 7th of February, which, I mean, the show had just been debuted like 3 days later. Like, hey, we're gonna send this one out again.
And so, again, here's the big thing. You're a big writer guy, you're a big story, like, through line guy, as I am as well. Reacher did what the Book of Boba Fett didn't do. You had a straight story all the way through. You knew the characters, you developed them, and that's how you do it. Mm-hmm. It's writing one-on-one. It's not, you know, if you have that cohesive unit, you had characters that you cared about. Like, oh, at the beginning, I hated this guy. Oh, no, I like at the beginning, I couldn't stand Finley. Like, stuck up bastard from Harvard. Even Reacher tells him, like, you know, I know why you're here. He just reads. I love the fact that he can just read people so quickly. Like, yeah, your wife left you. You had a smoking cigarette habit. Like, I love how he just breaks down.
Very Sherlock Holmes in that way. Yeah, and that's a series I've never read, was Reacher, and I'm kind of interested. I've got a few of those books, like, downloaded. I just never got to read them because they were, like, part of, like, a free service I had. So I was like, yeah, the Reachers, I've always heard about it. Never watched the Tom Cruise movies, but I'm really, like, after watching this, I was so excited. And just to see Alan again, like I said, he was probably one of my he was probably one of my favorite parts of Titans, because his storyline was so intricate and so deep. You know, the whole thing about the abuse and the drugs, and just like, and then his death was just even more heart-wrenching when he's finally coming back and realizing what he did, and him and Dove are looking at maybe getting back to
But he did have a little bit. He did have some closure in Titans, so he did get back together with his brother in the underworld, and like, hey man, we're gonna stay here.
But still, that
was kind of cool. Yeah, I miss him too. But what I didn't even realize, and I think you told me this when we were watching Titans, is he wasn't the original Hawk. His brother was. He took that mantle from his brother, and I was like,
well, no, she took. He was the original Hawk. His brother was the original Dove.
Okay.
In the comic book show, it was Hawk and Dove were brothers, and so, and I don't think they. Said that, I think they kind of hinted that at the beginning of the infancy of Hawk and Dove, that's what it was, and then he died, and then she kind of stepped in and they took his side. And like I said, I mean, you saw it in I think in that season one where you see him like dealing with this abusive person in his life, like
it was like the coach or something.
Yeah, the coach was like sexually molesting him, and then that caused him to go and using drugs. I mean, just like talk about a heavy character and a heavy storyline within Titans. You've got a lot of baggage there. His was the heaviest baggage, I thought. Like, when I saw that, I was just like, I lump in my throat. I'm like, what the fuck is this? What's going on there? What are they addressing?
If you think about season one of Titans, like, every single one of the main characters has this dark, like, they're going through some shit on Titans, because, like, just trauma, like, Dick is, like, Raven is, everyone is.
Yeah.
It all concludes later on in season one, like, what happened. But, you know, they don't really become a team till season two, but... Such dark storylines in Titans for season one. But Alan does a great job, man. I mean, I don't think we're going to see him in Titans again, maybe in flashbacks. But if he's going to Reacher,
I'm happy with that, man.
I'm happy with that, too.
I'd be more than happy to watch him in Reacher, because
he does a great job. Hell yeah.
Apparently, according to everything, the description of Reacher is big. He's not attractive, but his presence makes him attractive to women. So that's a... And I love that. I love that prison. Sorry, I gotta rewatch that one again. That was a binge watch. I literally started watching the first two episodes, and I'm like, I gotta just keep going. And I got to the point where I was like, head nodding. I'm like, I need to go to bed. I gotta work tomorrow. Okay, I'll watch it tomorrow. And
just watch one more.
No, actually, I watched it down to where I had two. I had 7 and 8 left, and I was like, I gotta go to bed. I can't do it. If anybody knows me and hears me on the show, yeah, I don't do binge watching that often. And that one, I just was like, oh my god.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked that you started binge watching. That's good, man.
Zack Snyder is releasing a show or a movie on Netflix, and it is a Star Wars script that got kind of reworked for Rebel Moon. And it's a Charlie Hunnam. You have Ray Fisher, and God, who else is on here? Charlie Hunnam, Giamatti. I mean, you got
Ray Fisher. That's Jason Silver's favorite actor.
Yeah, you've got a rather large cast here, and basically it's called Rebel Moon. It's based on a pitch Snyder originally envisioned as a Star Wars movie. And he said, this is me growing up as an Akira Kurosawa fan and a Star Wars fan. So that's my love of sci-fi and a giant adventure. So we'll definitely
see. Has he done a sci-fi? Well, excluding 300 and the comic.
I mean, you technically call, you know, Superman and Justice League. Those are.
Those
are. Whenever you look up like that stuff, that falls under science fiction. Most people don't think, I'm a comic book fan. I like superheroes. No, you're a sci-fi fan. You really are. Yeah. But yeah, this is supposed to be like, I'm interested to see what his concept would be. I'm sure he's reworked it a lot more away from the Star Wars thing, but I'd be very interested to see what his mind would do for Star Wars.
Yeah, well, he's done a sci-fi movie before, so, and taking out the Star Wars isms and making it his own. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I liked Army of the, House of the Dead, Army of Darkness?
I think it was Army of Dead, wasn't it?
Army of Dead. Army of Dead was okay. It was interesting. I mean, I liked his Dawn of the Dead remake better, but Army of the Dead was all right. I mean, I think he tried to add some of those mannerisms into that movie, but didn't quite work. But it was okay. I mean, to him doing a sci-fi movie straight up, bringing Ray Fisher back, why not? And he's got some big actors in there, too, besides Ray. He's got somebody else's. I mean, I don't have the cast list in front of me, but the people who are mentioned to be on there.
Yeah, it was a pretty good cast. Now, another Netflix one I thought looked amazing, and I think they don't need to remake the movie because I think they sort of already did. I know there was talks of The Flight of the Navigator getting remade, but this, The Atom Project with Ryan Reynolds, have you seen that? The trailer for that?
The trailer.
Tell me that does not have a Flight of the Navigator feel to it. That this, it basically it's that he comes back to see himself as a child and.
That's wicked.
And has this cool ship and what looks like a lightsaber in a way. I mean, it just, when I saw this, I'm like.
I thought it was Flight of the Navigator when I first saw it.
I was like, are they doing a cool twist? Or am I going to be okay with this? And yeah, it's not, but it just has this feel to it. I mean, it's amazing.
It did have like a time travel-y ship, Flight of the Navigator type feel. So. And then seeing himself like confront his younger self, that was cool. And then like the scenes with the dad in the trailer, dude, it's like one of those things I didn't even expect. Like, what is this?
Yeah, I never like the few he's done on Netflix are like so low key. Like the Six Underground, didn't hear a thing about it. This one, I didn't hear a thing about it. Wasn't there was another one he did?
Well, he did Red Notice.
Was the one I was thinking about. Yeah, all three of those, no idea. You want to keep a project quiet? Give it to Netflix. I don't know how they do it, but nothing in the bushes about, hey, what was going on. But I thought this looked so cool, so much fun. And of course, you know, this is the month I canceled my Netflix. So, bastards.
If you want to borrow it, I can give you
I have to re-up. I was like, there's nothing coming. There's nothing out, man. Screw this. It's gone. And then bam, 2 days later. Hey, look what we got.
I still have room on a profile. You can have it, sir. So. You're more than welcome to it. Come on back to Netflix, family.
What about Jurassic World? Did you check out the trailer for that?
Yes, I did. I was pleasantly surprised. And one of the things that I dug about this trailer is like, I was interested to see how they're going to introduce dinosaurs into the real world. Because let's think about it. This is a culmination of 6 films. You have like the park cast and the world cast coming together. It's like, you know, worlds collide.
And this is the first time they're actually in the world. I mean,
yes, they're in the world. Yeah, they're in the world. They're not stuck in a park. They're not like, you know, the T-Rex running in San Diego for 2 seconds and then back on a boat. No, they're in the world. And one of the best shots I saw in this trailer is it's in, I don't know where they're at, Alaska, and it's like snowing and stuff. And you see a brontosaurus. Mm-hmm. There's another shot of like these horses running in the field. And I think a Diplodocus is running behind them or in front of them. Like the way they've incorporated dinosaurs into the real world. And then you go to like the James Bond-esque type of scene where you see Chris Pratt and like going through the streets of France or something. You see velociraptors like just jumping around. Like, come on. And then, of course, you have the T-Rex in the movie theater. I've seen that before. But, like, everything I've seen of this, and then you hit it off with, like, the ending of the trailer with Sam Neill and Chris Pratt's character. Don't move. I'm in.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much to please me. It really doesn't. Ask people around. Doesn't just, but this.
My only hope is they don't do what I know they've done with legacy characters and kill off somebody.
I hope not, man.
I want all three of the original, and I want all two or three of the new ones, the new cast. I want them to all survive, because I'm kind of over, hey, you know, we're killing off the Gen X, you know, legacy heroes, like, a lot.
I hate that, man. To me, it's just a boring little trope. You know, we're going to bring them back just to kill them.
Yeah, no, let's not do that. Great to have them all back. And I don't know, I didn't get a chance to look at the cast, but the black actress, I would so love that to be, and I hate tie-ins like that, but I would so love that to be Jeff. I want that to be Jeff Goldblum's daughter. I really do.
And I hope it is too.
I'm so one of those ones that's like against, like, we don't need to have a repeat, but I think that would be so cool to have that relationship. And then, of course, we got, you know, Bryce back, which I'm just so happy to see her back again. I mean, I love, as much as I love her directing, I always love seeing her in front of the camera as well.
Yeah, it just looks so cool, and you get to see what happened with Blue. Blue, I guess, had a kid, and you see Chris Pratt, like, hey, man, we're like in a barn or whatever, in the wilderness, defending them. Like, it's just so cool. I actually like the new Colin Trevorrow trilogy of Jurassic World, and I love the OG stuff.
Yeah,
but the way they've done the world, like, they progressed it. It moves forward now. I don't know too much of the plot of Dominion, but it appears, and I saw something in the trailer, which I think is gonna happen. I think they're gonna try to get all these dinosaurs back to the original, you know, Jurassic Park. Bring them back home. I think that's gonna be like the common thing. Like, hey, let's bring them back to Jurassic Park. Let them live out there. I could be wrong, but there's a shot in the trailer that shows like the original Jurassic Park there.
Yeah, maybe they have to do something. Yeah, it's gonna be difficult if these things have been out there breeding already to bring them all back. I think that small island is gonna be too big for them. But yeah, I'm sure we'll go back to the original park, because I did remember. I thought I saw something where it was like covered with grass. Well, I know they went back to the world from Jurassic World Park. I know there were scenes from that. So, but we shall. See, hey, Netflix is finally removing all their Marvel shows.
Boo.
Contract ends. I mean, they've got a place to go. Now the big question is where do they go? Do they come into Disney Plus, and do they drop into the legacy category? But we've already know Charlie Cox. We know, you know, D'Onofrio is out there now. Do they add him into the regular rotation? Or do they toss them to their secondary service, Hulu?
I think right now, if you're going to ask me, unless I think they throw them on Disney Plus, because they have plans for Cox. They have plans for D'Onofrio. And I think eventually you'll see Kristen Ritter will be back out there as Jessica Jones too. I think they have plans for her. I think they're going to throw them on Disney Plus. Yes, it'd be easy to throw them on Hulu because they are a little bit adult content-y, but you could just throw them on Disney Plus.
Well, I mean, there's some adulty stuff out there for Disney Plus.
Yeah, so I think they're going to throw them on Disney Plus because they got plans for these characters.
And I hope so. I mean, I'm right there with you. I want them to be part of the family. You know, I want them to, because they never really talked about it. They talked about the big day. They talked about, I think Jessica Jones talked about the big green guy. But we never got like a complete true tie-in. But now we finally did with, you know, the inclusion of Spider-Man and then, of course, the inclusion of Hawkeye, you know, that we got to see, you know, these two of the characters at least.
We got Charlie, we got Vincent. We're only missing two more to me. Just bring back Christian Ritter and bring back Luke Cage, which Luke is going to be a little bit more difficult because he's got that show on CBS.
Yeah. But he could cameo. I mean, if they really throw it in there, they could have him cameo in the movies. I mean, you don't have to be off of a set that long to go do a quick cameo in a movie. You know,
I don't know. I just kind of want to see him back in that world.
Me too. But I think, we'll ever get that world back. That's the only thing. I would love to see that world. I want to see that world breathe and exist along with the rest of it, but I don't think we will ever get that because you're not going to have the directors. You don't have this. You have a completely different studio doing it. So you're not going to have that same feel.
one of the best ways that Luke Cage season two ended is the way I thought that Boba Fett was going to do as well. Remember how it ended? Like, Luke was always that guy, the hero in protecting Harlem. And eventually he became the king of Harlem. He was like the kingpin of Harlem now. And like, I would be interested to see where he was going to go from there. I don't think they're going to follow that storyline. I think it's done. But that's another thing they could have done in Boba. Just to
At the very end, you see him and basically the king of Mos Espa. He is. He's walking around. People are giving him fruit, waving. Hey, how you doing? Because beforehand, they didn't want him there. So you do see him as the king.
Fennec Shan. Thank you. Book of Fennec, brother. Book of Fennec.
What about Lord of the Rings? You psyched anything for this Lord of the Rings series coming out? Do you care? I mean,
I do care.
Do you?
Yes. The Hobbit trilogy kind of soured me on Lord of the Rings. I was like, stupid CGI orcs. But when I start seeing the posters of the hands, okay. And now you finally got, like, you see these faces on there. Then you see some scenes. I'm in. I mean, I want to see the origin of Sauron. That's my whole thing. I want to see how Sauron goes bad. I want to see him being that evil king, how he gets all the rings. I want to see him before he became an eye. You know, I want to see his origin.
Well, we're not going to see him have all the rings because his whole point was to not have all the rings. His point was to have them shared with other people so he can control them. So, yeah, we're not going to see. We're definitely going to see that. We're going to see the Billy. We're going to see his origins in a way. But yeah,
have they said who's going to play Sauron or just some other?
I don't think they've actually released a cast list yet. I know they've just released the character list. Like, we know, hey, these are the characters that are going to be in it, like their names that went along with the.
But didn't Sauron have a different name before he became Sauron?
He did, yeah. So, and the same thing with, well, I mean, not to get sweaty with you, but.
It gets sweaty.
So did the other characters. Gandalf was not Gandalf. Gandalf was actually I don't want to call him a god, but he was an immortal being that was in his, that what Gandalf was not his name. He had different names. So casting right now. So yeah, so we have, see, we have Robert Aurama, playing Eldron.
Ooh, okay.
Let's see. We have Owen Arthur. I don't know who that is. Again, a lot of these folks I've never seen before. He's playing the dwarf. Yeah, most of these actors I don't recognize. So, but yeah, you do have quite a large list. I don't see anybody. Gadriel is Morphe Clark, and she's got nothing on here. Like, I got
a lot of unknowns. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some, you know, they've got some time. I mean, you got to realize they're going to be a young cast because of what they're going to be doing. A lot of this cast hasn't been, you know, have only been working about 6-7 years. You know, some of the younger actors.
Young, you know, gives them time to make the roles their own. You know, what is it? During the second age, I believe they said?
Yeah, well, this is when Isildur's around. So this is, when all this is happening. So we're definitely going to see that. Like I said, there's no cast. And there's another 20. Maybe another 20 that are undisclosed roles. So yeah, it's gonna be a really cool trip. I love the pictures. I think what I saw, I couldn't help but chuckle. I'm 12 years old inside. I'm sorry. And I saw the pictures, and they're showing you, like, the apple, and then the one with the acorns, and I was like, these nuts.
You're such a child.
I said it to one of our friends. I was like, hey, you see all these pictures? And she's like, yeah. I go, look at these nuts. It's like, Stop talking to me today. Oh, my. So, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I just, again, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with people in this world, but there is a group of people out there losing their shit because there's a black fucking elf. I'm like, are you serious? It's a freaking book. It's a fantasy novel. Stop.
Still with this shit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I started seeing some of this. I'm like, I love some of the people that I'm following online because they are literally, if you come to me with this, or this, and you say anything about woke or anything about this agenda, this, you're gone. Your comment's gone, and you rolled off of my page, and as harpy. Like, it's like, and honestly, guys, that's how I feel. I don't know about Jeff, but, you know, that's, if I see any of that crap on our page, yeah, that's gone too.
It's just yawn. To me, it's yawn. It's boring. Like, why do you care? Like, do you have so many other things to care about? Why care about this?
I don't.
It's a black elf.
There was one guy talking about. He's like, do you see this elf? Or no, they were talking about the dwarves. You see this dwarf? And it was one of the dwarves that, you know, big old red-headed beard, you know, and everything like that. And then he goes to the black lady. You see this one? What's wrong with this picture? She doesn't have a beard. Because you remember in the story, they said all dwarves, even the women, well, even the women had beards.
It's a minor little.
Yeah. That one I'll be okay with. Hey, the chick doesn't have a beard. That's fine. We can move on with that. We don't need to see that.
No offense. I don't want to see a chick with a beard, man. Can we just let ladies be ladies? Yeah. Come on.
Did you see the video that came out with DC this week where they did what did they call it? DC something or other?
Didn't it's like a sizzle reel?
It sort of is. Yeah. I think it's kind of just like saying, hey, this is the status of what DC's doing. And I was so happy. Like I was like, oh, look at all of those. You got to see clips from the Batman, from Black Adam, from The Flash, Aquaman, which we haven't seen dick about.
Nothing.
Yeah. But just amazing. We actually get to see Kent Nelson, you know, outside of the Doctor Strange.
Dude, or Dr. Fate. When I saw James Bond with the ascot, like, dude, like, I love, like, I'm one of the few people who actually kind of dug, you know, his portrayals, James Bond, and people kind of shitted on it, but I thought it was okay. But him as Kent Nelson, an older fucking, like, Pierce Brosnan with the beard and, like, the ascot just chilling with the helmet.
That's Kent, though. That's Kent.
Kent, man. He looks so dope. And even Hawkman looked pretty cool his color. I'm like, and because the Hawkman in Legends of Tomorrow was terrible, but, like, this Hawkman looks cool. And Black Adam, like The Rock, dude, they're talking about a role he was born to play. And I guess they're going with the anti-hero role, which is okay.
That's fine. The route that, yeah, I mean,
It's The Rock, dude. It's fine. I don't care. Eventually, he's going to fight Shazam for some reason. Who cares? He better fight Shazam. I don't want to see hey, man, what's going on, Shazam? We are friends.
I don't want to see this meet up. I don't want to see the thank you. Yeah, I do not want to see the Predator handshake. That's just what I was going to say. I was like, I don't.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. I don't need to see that. We're good with that.
I like it, man. I like the fact that you show that one shot with Aquaman in the throne. It looks like he's having some contemplations like, man, what kind of king can I be? I'm just guessing.
She's probably trying to figure out what to do with that crazy fucking wife of his. Oh, sorry.
Mike Jones at gmail.com. If you guys,
I didn't do anything. I'm just making comments about what's out there, you know? So, and then the scenes from The Flash, even more scenes from The Flash. Just, I mean,
what do you think of the suit? I like the suit. The suit's very Injustice, man.
It is extremely. Yeah. It's got the lines, the bolted lines to the suit. You have Extremely Injustice. 52, I think even was kind of the thing, but yeah. I mean, dude, we got a DC year. You've got,
we have
Batman in March. So not less than a month away. We got Batman, DC, League of Super Pets. Got to count that. That's May 20th. We've got Black Adam set to release July 29th. And Aquaman set to release. The Flash. Sorry, then The Flash November 4th. Then Aquaman December 16th. What was that? One, two, three, four, five.
And by the way, don't forget the Batgirl movie comes out this year too on HBO Max.
That's not on the list for DC just yet. I think it's still on one of those iffy lists right now.
Is Doom Patrol and Titans coming back this year too?
Titans should be. I think they started filming.
We didn't even talk about Titans, man. We missed it last week. Because one of your favorite villains is coming to Titans for season 4.
Yeah, we ran out of time on that one.
Oh, man. And they got Joseph Morgan from freaking Vampire or Legacy is going to be on there. He's playing Brother Blood. Perfect. Chef's kiss.
Sorry. Yeah.
Perfect. But yeah, dude, we got 5 movies of DC this year. Time to get sweaty if you're a big DC guy. I love Marvel and all their stuff, but
yeah, this is DC's year. My heart
is with DC, and I just hope they knock it out of the park. This has got to be their year. They got the Batman leading off, then you get Flash.
No, we got Batman, then the Pets. Don't forget the Super Pets, dude. That fucking voice cast is hands down probably one of the best voice casts I've seen in a long time.
The Pets, Flash.
Yeah. Yeah, you got Batman, the Pets, you got Black Adam. Black Adam comes out before The Flash. Black Adam's set for July. Like, that's he's prime midsummer movie, and then there's nothing until November 4th.
He looks good, though, as Black Adam.
Again, a movie I never thought I wanted. Yes, once we saw Shazam, I was like, I want to see Black Adam at some point with him, but not to just jump headfirst in a Black Adam movie before we get that. That's just amazing. And again, that's another reason you got to love The Rock. I mean, he's a
Did you see he, Adam he Smasher? He looked like Adam Smasher.
Yeah,
yep. He looked dope. Yeah, you just can't doubt The Rock. The Rock's got some smart people behind him, so he knows what he's doing, dude.
Like, well, he's got his one of his writers from WWE with him.
Brian Woods,
is still right along with him. I mean, and he does a lot of writing with whatever movie or show he's working on. Does a lot of stuff with him because he knows how to write for Dwayne. You know, he knows his characteristics and his speaking style. So,
Did he write the Black Adam
movie? I don't think he wrote the Black Adam movie, but I think he's probably been.
He's probably like a producer credit
or writing credit, you know.
Because I think Brian writes the Young Rock show as well.
Yeah, I think Brian's definitely on tied in with that, and I haven't seen if that's coming back yet or not.
It's season two is coming back. It's confirmed, by the way.
And I guess the last thing I have, we have news. We got a poster literally the very next day after Boba dropped. We got a poster for Obi-Wan Kenobi set to release on May 25th. And if nobody knows what May 25th is, May 25th is the original date that Star Wars number one, A New Hope, wasn't named it back then, but Star Wars A New Hope came out. So, what a great way to knock that out. If they weren't going to be doing
May the 5th.
If they weren't going to do May the 4th. Come on, man.
Which you know, May 4th was just a made up freaking thing.
Yeah, that's something we all the nerds got together and said, well, that's our day. Screw off.
But the 25th is the original. If you're deep core sweaty Star Wars.
And not only the original, the 45th anniversary. Yes. So,
I love the poster, by the way.
Love it. Yeah, absolutely love it. Yeah.
Because it's Obi-Wan, it's desolate Obi-Wan, you know, we got to walk around. We're back in Tatooine again, guys.
Yeah, guess I know. What? That's another thing. I was like, son of a bitch. I'm starting to feel like Anakin right now. I don't like the sand. I just don't like it.
And that's what it is. Like, they want to make you hate the sand.
We hate the sand. But hopefully he gets off world and goes somewhere else. But yeah, it looks great. I mean, just the twin sons behind him and just, you know, it looks like he's holding his lightsaber walking across the desert. It's really cool.
6 episodes. Deborah Chow's doing it. She did one of my favorite episodes of The Mandalorian last year too. So
yeah, Deborah Chow. Yeah, she's directing
all 6 episodes.
And basically, what you figure these out, it's going to be 6 episodes, an hour apiece. They said. And of course, Disney's always said that there's this many, and they always fluff them around and have shorter ones. But literally, think about this. We are literally getting an Obi-Wan trilogy. When you put your time in, 2 hours a movie. This is an Obi-Wan trilogy.
We're getting 6 hours and change of Obi-Wan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Average 2 hours a movie. That's a trilogy. You know, that's amazing that we're going to be getting that much Obi-Wan, that much Ewan. Again, I'm a hands down huge Ewan fan. Pretty much everything he's done, I've always been a big fan of. Even his weak little, you know, rom coms, but still, you know.
Oh wow, you went there, didn't you?
Heck, well, hey, he's got them in there, but you know, he did introduce us to the worst toilet in the world. What? Trainspotting. Come on now.
I know. I've seen Trainspotting. Okay. That's not like, man, you really going to throw that out there?
Hey, that's how I was introduced to him, and he introduced me to the worst toilet in the world.
Oh, boy. I didn't see the sequel to that.
Me either. No, I just, because I was like, I don't really think we need to see that. So nothing against him, but I was just like, yeah, I don't know if I want to.
I don't want, you know, 50-year-old guys doing drugs again. Yeah,
It's like watching 50-year-old guys getting thrown against the wall.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Hey, I got one thing that popped up. I'm not sure you saw it. They said Ray Stevenson got cast as a villain in the Ahsoka series. People assume he's going to play Thrawn. I don't think he's going to play Thrawn.
Ray Stevenson?
Yeah, Ray Stevenson, yeah. You know, the Punisher, a.k.a. one of the Warriors 3. Was he Game of Thrones?
Maybe.
I mean, the pictures I got here on superherohype.com, you know, he's an older gentleman, big with gray hair. I mean, throw some blue face paint on him. I mean, he could pull off Thrawn.
You get him to shave that beard. I could see Thrawn in there. I really could.
I don't think he's going to be Thrawn, though.
But that's what we're leading to. Again, I know Disney likes to do their fucking swerves, and I want to punch him in the face sometimes. But yeah, I mean, he could go that route. But I mean, you got to realize that's one thing Ahsoka said to what's her name, you know, before, you know, when they were fighting. Where's your master? Where's Thrawn? Yeah. So it's like they said it. He could also play. I mean, he definitely has the greasy Imperial, you know, soldier. He could be, he could not be Thrawn, but he could be like his general, you know, or, you know, the main, one of the guys that flies, you know, another
bounty hunter or like some kind of,
I can't see him now. I see him more as a Imperial officer.
What if he played a legacy character? What if he played Dash Rendar?
No,
remember the Han Solo wannabe?
I know. Yeah, you love Dash for some reason.
I love Dash.
You dig his bones up at least once a year,
dude. I will. It is once a year. That is correct.
Yeah, I swear to God, once a year I hear that the fucking name. I keep trying to forget it.
And every time I bring you that name up, you're always like, you push your head to the side, like, oh God, here we go with Dash Rendar again.
But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I love the inclusion. I think he'd do a great job. You know, I mean, you just look at some of the
stuff. He was in that last G.I. Joe retaliation movie. He was pretty good as Firefly. I kind of dug him. So, you know.
Yeah, if you count that as a Firefly.
Yeah, did he put the mask on in the movie? No, I don't think he did. He was just a saboteur. He just fought like The Rock a couple times in that film. I have to watch that movie again.
Hold on now. He did voice a character in Clone Wars and Rebels.
Uh-oh.
He voiced Gar Saxon. But that, why would they bring him? Now, Gar Saxon was part of, was one of a Death Watch. He was Imperial Viceroy of Mandalore.
Yeah, I'm looking him up right now.
Yeah, so I don't know. That would make sense.
I mean, he
could get away with it as an older one.
Because he kind of looks like Gar Saxon.
Yeah, right? If he shaved the sides, but you can say he's older now.
He can put that helmet. Dude, that's a dope helmet, by the way. I love that helmet with the horns.
So, according to this, I'm looking at the Hollywood Reporter. It says it's unclear who Stevenson will play, but sources say he is a villain in the series and will play an admiral, although not Thrawn. So, definitely not Thrawn. So maybe he is. Maybe Saxon continued and met up with Thrawn after the, you know, after the Mandalorian. Who knows? We'll see. But again, I'm completely fine with that. I can't wait to see also, you know, with Mary Elizabeth Winstead being in there, you know, seeing what she plays as well.
I would hopefully she played one of the Night Sisters.
Yeah, I don't know, but this doesn't. The Night Sisters are gone by this point. The Night Sisters have been long gone and dead. There's like a very small remnant, and they're. Last we saw, they were leaving the galaxy to go after. You also have the Ukrainian Ivana Sakahone, Australian thespian Natasha Leo Bordizzo, and Hayden Christensen's going to be in this as well.
Can't wait.
As Anakin. Didn't say he was Darth Vader. They're marking him as Anakin. So I got a feeling we're going to see a lot of flashbacky kind of things. Yeah. Which again, that's kind of what I'm thinking we're going to see. I know you've got your own opinions about Obi-Wan, but I think that's
how I've said it many times.
I think that it's going to be more flashbacks. Even Dave kind of hinted at it's all a lot of flashbacks, which is fine. I think there have been some scenes that they have cut in the animated stuff that it was them having like really good close heart to heart conversation. So
hopefully they'll bring those to life because one of the best things about Revenge of the Sith is like that relationship between him and Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
It was like they were no longer like, you know, I am your master, you're the Padawan. They were on equal footing now. And they talk like they were like brothers. They talk like brothers. Like, hey man, that was a nice little thing you did back then. But, hey, remember that one thing I saved your ass in? Yeah. I love when they were just talking like brothers.
That doesn't count. Why not? Because it doesn't.
Yeah. It's that juvenile like stuff.
That's why I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see Obi-Wan doing something and just like we'll have a lot of flashback moments. And but I think also with him being there, I think we will have Vader moments. But I think Vader moments will be more him dealing with one of the Inquisitors, because I do know there's an Inquisitor in there that's supposed to be cast. We haven't got really much. Like I said, they've been keeping a tight lip on the Obi-Wan movie. So
yeah, there's if you've seen concept art, the first thing we've seen is this poster. That's it.
Yeah,
nothing else.
Yeah, because most of the concept art that came out was old concept art that they were bringing out, saying, you know, hey, we looked at some of this stuff.
That was probably from that failed movie they were trying to do, because they were trying to get this movie for a while, and they were like, screw it, we have Disney Plus, let's do 6 episodes.
Yeah. And like I said, awesome way, get a trilogy out of this. All right, man. Why so not? You got anything else or
Oh, that was the last one I had there.
All right, perfect. Make sure you guys do check us out on Here's a Silent Midnight Movies. This past week, we did our comedy for Ted for the 2000s movies, and we will be having some fun ones coming up here. I think this next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing a review of The Warrior. Getting ready to just butcher the fuck out of his name.
Tom Hardy?
Tom, I was going to say Ted Hardy, and that's not it. But yeah.
That's his brother, yeah, that's Ted his brother. Hardy.
You know fucking Ted.
Ted Hardy.
And then we're going to watch The Hitman's Bodyguard, which, I'm sorry, so much fun movie. I actually love that one. I know originally you would post, like, The Wife. I'm like, no. Wife's fun, but this one's so much better.
Yeah.
And it's got the same cast.
It's actually a better movie, too. So, yeah, we'll be doing that this week. And check out the Facebook page. And from Mike to me to you, get to the asylum. We'll see you soon.
Bye.